I'm always a little bit bummed that I don't have the opportunity to preach at the exact same Mass times week after week, because as you all know pretty well about me at this point, sometimes there's sort of a narrative that runs a thread from last week to the other. So I could kind of update you a little bit from last week to this week for those of you that haven't heard, but I think I do recognize a couple faces that may have heard. So last week, one of the things that I had told was my own Andrew and Peter story. As you all know, my name is Peter, but I have a cousin named Andrew. And my cousin and I have kind of parallel vocation stories. And so just like we hear in the gospel, that Andrew and Peter's call to discipleship are sort of intertwined with one another, that's exactly what happened with my cousin, Andrew. And one of the funny things that had happened was that it was years ago, many years ago at this point, that he sent me a really long message on Facebook. You know, one of those kind of messages where you have to, like, you're scrolling and you're like, wow, this is a long message. And so he sent me this message, and it was all about faith. It was all about our faith. He was one of those folks that had the experience of he got confirmed and he basically never went back to church. That's kind of what happened to him. And so my whole family was basically raised Catholic, but some of us just kind of got confirmed and never came back to the church. So he's in his early 20s at this point, kind of just finishing up college. And he started to ask me a lot of these questions. And then I started to answer some of his questions, but then at the very end, I was just like, by the way, why in the world did you ask me in the first place? Because I didn't necessarily consider myself to be like the most amazing Catholic at that time in my life. I can say this, God was important to me, but I didn't know that much about my faith yet, and it was still just kind of like, I was wandering around in my faith a lot. I wasn't really strong in the foundations of it. I didn't know the church. I didn't know the Bible well. And so, but there was faith there. There was truly a gift of faith within my heart. And so he said to me, he was like, well, when there was a recent wedding and I spoke at the rehearsal dinner. And he said to me, when I heard you speak at the rehearsal dinner, you said things about God that I never heard anybody else in our family say. I never heard anybody speak about God like they knew him. And I was just like, and that was almost shocking to me, which is one of the things that's amazing about this call to discipleship that you see here in the gospel, is our discipleship often, very often, has to do with other people. Sometimes he calls us together. Sometimes he calls me to call you. Sometimes he calls you to call me. We actually share and spread the gospel, and we bring each other to Christ. And that's exactly what started to happen with my cousin Andrew and I. So this began a long, long dialogue of our faith back and forth. And so I'm going to cut to the chase, and then I'm going to go back. And so basically, these days, my cousin Andrew goes by a new name. His name is Brother Rufino Joseph, and he's a Franciscan friar in the Renewal, and he lives in Honduras. My cousin Andrew entered religious life the same year that I entered the seminary. And our vocations ever since have been kind of intertwined with one another. And there's amazing stories about his life and his conversion as well. So there's a point where we're having this dialogue, and this is kind of one of the critical points sometimes in our life of discipleship, where maybe we're still kind of bargaining with God for the things that we really prefer on this earth rather than really following him. So there's kind of an amazing story of us writing back and forth and getting to know each other. And so then one of these things happens to him. I recommend a couple books to him, and he's a surfer. So him and his brothers, he has two brothers, they went to Puerto Rico and they were going to go surfing and doing, you know, just living the life. They were just living the life. So they go out there and he's there floating in the water on his surfboard, but he's actually having this dialogue with God. He hadn't gotten a good wave all day. And he actually says to the Lord, he's like, God, just give me one good wave to finish off this day. All I want is to have like one good ride. Can you just give me that? And then a swell comes up over, and he had his hand on his board, it flips the board back, and he breaks his wrist. So he breaks his wrist, paddles back into shore, and then now all of a sudden, the Lord has given him this unique opportunity to read these two Christian books that I recommended to him, because now he's got a cast in his arm and he can't go surfing anymore. So he asked for one more wave, and instead the Lord broke his arm. This is basically what our life sometimes feels like. And I'll go to a story that just happened just this morning. This morning, I'm lifting weights with my friend Bobby, who is here. All of a sudden, he was doing deadlifts, and then he just stood up really quick and was like, something's not right with my hamstring. And all of a sudden, he kind of tweaked his hamstring right in that very moment. Our Christian life, our walk with God, is absolutely full of setbacks. There was a moment there, you're like, oh gosh, did I hurt myself? Well, how bad is it? You know, and you start talking about like how bad it could possibly be. And then I was reminded of something that I used to tell the rock climbing team that I coached. There's these moments where you're on a route. It's difficult. You're climbing up a wall, and you're climbing and climbing, and everything is going fine. And then all of a sudden, your foot slips, and you almost fall, but you don't fall. There's basically two things that can be in your mind once you continue to climb. Either it looks like this: I almost fell, I almost fell, I almost fell, I almost fell. You can carry that mistake with you the entire rest of the route, or you can say to yourself, I didn't fall. I almost fell, but I did not fall. Every single move that I make after this is a new move. But we often carry the weight of our mistakes with us as we go. And it's these times where we have to let go, and we have to realize, even when we get hurt, even when we're redirected by God, that there is a reason why we've been redirected. That broken wrist that my cousin experienced ended up being a catalyst for amazing things. And this is what I told the folks last week at Mass. He ended up coming to visit me here in Portland. But it was a short trip on his way to go pick cherries and go surfing in Australia. Again, living the dream. I'm going to pick cherries on a farm and just go surfing. This is just like the dream, right? But I'm just going to stop and visit my cousin Peter on the way. Biggest mistake he ever made in his life. And so he comes to visit with me, and we start talking about the faith. And he's read these books now, and he has a sense. So he's really coming back to the Christian faith. But he still had a lot of problems with our Catholic faith. He didn't understand, why do we do this? Why do we do that? I don't understand. Why is there so much kneeling and sitting and standing and all these gestures and all this stuff? So there's a lot of things that he had struggles with. And so we went to the cathedral, and he still had struggles. And then I had to coach a competition in Seattle, and he still had struggles over there. But then I thought to myself, I was helping out with the youth group at Holy Family Parish. Holy Family has a very different feel than cathedrals. It's a lot more warm. There was a lot more families. It just had a different sense about it. Many of our parishes, as many of you know, have different characters, just like individual people. There's a feel here. There are people that come to St. Cecilia's and they say things like, I love how devoted the people are. How do you have so many people going to daily Mass? There is a real character that our church has, just like some of these other churches. Well, as it turned out, Holy Family was exactly what my cousin needed. And so what ended up happening is I had to go coach another competition out of state. So he was here for a few days on his own. By the time I got back, he went to confession, received communion, and was calling himself Catholic. Andrew never went to Australia to pick cherries. It was a true miracle that I got to witness in my life. And there's a great fear that we've had. I mentioned this last week. There's a great fear that the more that we give our life to Christ, the more that we abandon our life, just like Andrew and Peter and John and the other apostles do on that beach, that he's just going to keep taking away. And then our life is just going to be misery and pain. Like you, some of you probably, like, a poor Father Peter, his life must just be misery, pain, and prayer. That must be what his life is like. But it's not, it's like, I can tell you that truly, truly, this is the happiest I've ever been in my life. The Lord has super abundantly given me things that I thought were not possible being a priest. I thought that there was all kinds of sacrifice I would have to make. And there are. But they're coupled with some of the most immense feelings of joy that I've ever experienced. My cousin Andrew was able to be there at my ordination as a deacon at St. Peter's Basilica. Came all the way from Honduras. And it just so happened that I was on my pastoral year when he made his solemn profession to the Franciscans, and I was able to be the deacon at his solemn profession. And I mentioned to people last week that it is truly in those moments when I look down at the host, those moments where I actually get to look at our Lord in the Eucharist, when I feel the closest to my cousin. There's times I wonder, as I elevate the Eucharist and I look at it, maybe he's at adoration right now, adoring our Lord in the Eucharist. Maybe he's at Mass right now. We are worlds apart, but that is when we are absolutely the closest together, when we actually share one body in Jesus Christ between the two of us. It's an amazing, amazing gift that binds us together. There are many people that you love in this world that don't get to be near you. They live in other countries, in other states, and you wish that you could be near them. You wish that you could see them all the time. But if they share the one body of Jesus Christ with us in the Eucharist, you are closer to them in that moment than you would be if they were just here visiting you. And I have to constantly remind myself of that. That is what we're called to. We're really called to abandon these things in our life and stop carrying around the baggage of our past. That I almost fell, I almost fell, I almost fell. No. With our Lord Jesus Christ, you are like, I did not fall, and I'm absolutely called to keep going. And every time I think of my cousin, I almost call him my brother a lot of the time because it feels more like that. But every time I think about that, every time I see this gospel, and I'm reminded of the call of Andrew and Peter, I can't help but be reminded of my own call to the priesthood. And you know, I say this all the time, but easier said than done. I was terrified to enter the seminary. I mean, I hate school, and I wasn't a great student most of my life. And so it's like, you mean to tell me that I have to go to school for 8 more years? I mean, there were things that were hard to accept for me to go back into the seminary. But the amazing thing, Andrew and myself, we had weaknesses. We have difficulties. We have things that we're terrible at. And then we have great gifts that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us. But the one thing that we have to realize is that if we can let go, if we can give our life more to God and let go of the world just a little bit more each day that we're on this earth, I've said this before, if we're one step closer to heaven and we let go of the earth every day just a little bit, that is truly the road to Christ. And that's what we really want in our life. But there are other people that are with us on the road, that are inspiring us all the time, that are interceding for us, that are praying for us to succeed, to be with each other when we're weak, to say, like, you know, you may have pulled your hamstring this morning, but you still got a whole bunch of other muscles that we could work on, and we're just going to work around it. We're just going to keep going. It's such an important part of the Christian charism. To be Christian is to be like a warrior of perseverance in a world that does not always believe that you are on the right track. But there's no way that we could do it by ourselves. We absolutely have to have the support of other people. And sometimes, even when we think, like I said, some of the people that we want the support from the most, some of the people that we wish were walking with us, they absolutely are. Do not forget how we are bound together in the Eucharist. Don't forget that. There are certainly moments that I wish my cousin was a Franciscan friar right here in the Archdiocese in Portland, and that I could actually serve with him at his side. But what did he do to the apostles? He spread them out to spread the gospel. But he gave them food for the journey to be united with himself and with each other. It is not a small thing. It's one of the most unique things that we have as the Catholic Church. So don't forget that. Don't forget how we're bound together with each other in this Eucharist today. And so, as you guys know, I often use the Roman Canon. The Roman Canon is Eucharistic prayer number one. Some of you probably roll your eyes as soon as you start hearing me list that long list of the saints, because you're like, oh, this is the long one. It is the long one, but Archbishop Sample and Father Brent both informed me when they timed it, it's literally only 90 seconds longer. But 90 seconds to remind us that that's the oldest Eucharistic prayer. Before the mid-60s, before the Second Vatican Council, that was the only Eucharistic prayer that we used. But one of the things that's amazing about that is that we commemorate the apostles, Peter, Andrew, John, our patroness, St. Cecilia. We remember the people that paved the way. We remember the people that had this amazing perseverance to keep going in their Christian faith. So I love that Eucharistic prayer. And so I use it a lot because I think it contains with it so many important elements. So maybe you guys have a Peter and Andrew story in your life. But the important thing is to continue to support other believers' walk with our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to walk with each other. We have to pick each other up when we're down. And we have to remind each other that setbacks happen for a reason. Sometimes they're to redirect us towards our Lord Jesus Christ. They may interfere with our plans, but you know, you've heard the saying, man plans and God laughs, right? So that's one of those things that we have to remind ourselves of. But today, at this Eucharist, as you hear those great saints listed off, that's who we're called to be, great saints. And think of that person. Think of the people that you wish that you saw every day, the people that you love, the people that you miss, the people that you had to move away from because of jobs. And when you see that Eucharist being elevated into the sky, opened up to heaven with all the angels and saints surrounding them, even though we can't see them with our eyes, remember those people. Bind yourself to them. God bless you all today.